I don't like being dependent. I like being independent. But I cannot pull that off with God. I must submit. I depend on God. And when it appears that he is not dependable, I have to default to trusting God because I have enough information about him as John did. Do you think these apostles did not see people suffer? Do you think they saw prayers go ungranted? Of course they did. All of them. But they did not just give up.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick will continue his study called Love Flows from Faith as he teaches through 1 John chapter 5.
Paul is saying, I know what you're going through. I go through it too. There's just some things that are just so difficult. There's this fight inside. Who knows what Paul's personal struggles, maybe, you know, could have been just fear of getting stoned or caned. And yet he went out and did it all the time, it seems. You read again 2 Corinthians, that 11th chapter, in the latter verses, somewhere around verse 23 or something like that, and you just said, this man, who can keep this pace? What an incredible and extraordinary believer. What motivated him? Love wasn't a burden to him in the spirit. No burden to the spiritual nature because we're in our right mind when we are thinking spiritually. Psalm 19, the psalmist says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Yahweh are pure, enlightening the eyes. How poetic. That psalmist on that day was just so in love with God's word. But I know the days would come when that psalmist would write things like, if I had wings, I would fly away. Because that's the human experience. The peaks and the valleys, the plateaus, the gullies. And we are prepared for these things. We are built for these things. You may not feel like you are. You may even be getting thrashed. But your perseverance has every alarm going off in hell that can go off. Just simple perseverance. Hell was excited when Demas left Paul. Very excited. But also it was a nervous excitement. Because they did not know if he would persevere nonetheless. Romans 7:23. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. God gave the law to Moses, the Mosaic law, we call it. And when he gave it to him, it was something man could handle. Moses could carry the law in his hands. In fact, he took it and he put it in a chest, and the Levites would carry it in the chest. God had a far-reaching view of these things. He knew the day would come where man would not have to carry the word of God anymore, but would rest. It's a wonderful picture of the experience in this life. Deuteronomy 10, so I made an ark of acacia wood, hewed two tablets of stone like the first, and went up the mountain, having the two tablets in my hand. He's carrying what will be the word of God. And then he takes that word, and that is one of the three items put into the chest, the Ark of the Covenant, beneath the mercy seat of God. And when we arrive in heaven, we will put down all of our efforts to uphold righteousness against unrighteousness, even in our own hearts. It's captured for us by King Josiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Here's a king that loved God so much, did all that he could to purge the land of idolatry. It was just so deeply rooted, none of them could get it out. It's like Christianity today. There's so much leaven and heresy within Christendom that you just can't get it all out. You can get much of it out. Many good churches have much of it out, but there's still people coming in all the time and bringing this stuff with them. 2 Chronicles 35:5. Then he said to the Levites who taught all Israel who were holy to Yahweh, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, built. It shall no longer be a burden on your shoulders. Now serve Yahweh your God and his people Israel. Right now, the love of God is burdensome to my flesh, but not to my spirit. And that creates a contest, a battlefield, a storm that I have to live with all my life. But that doesn't render me meaningless. That doesn't mean that I can't be used because I struggle and sometimes I find myself getting the flesh getting the upper hand. That's not the whole story. We keep pushing forward. Verse 4, he says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, our trust. You can't persevere without faith. You can't keep going without eyes on the Lord, without surrendering to the knowledge of the holy. I would rather die than have God give up on me. But the reason that I don't have to fear saying something like that is because I know God's not going to give up on me. Moses had expressed that. He did not want to leave Sinai if God didn't go with them. God was angry at the people for their sin. Exodus 33:16. Then he said to him, Moses speaking to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. I don't want to go anywhere without you. We Christians should believe the same thing. We want the Holy Spirit. We want to be led, but being led is very difficult because of the flesh. I don't understand all the reasons why it is so difficult. I understand some of the reasons why. I think sometimes God can make things, he could simplify things with just a little bit of effort, but I don't know all the laws that exist surrounding creation in the spiritual realm. But I get a glimpse of it from Daniel. When the angel was hindered from getting to Daniel, telling him, from the beginning your prayers have been heard, but spiritual forces have hindered me. So I understand that when things aren't happening, when God is not moving the mountains and I'm praying and I'm working, and I'm doing everything by the book and it's still not happening, I yield to the knowledge that there are other laws and other wars surrounding these laws and these wars. And I don't need to know them. I need to know the ones that have been entrusted to me. I need to persevere. I need to trust God. How simple. Again, Jesus comes to the fig tree. It has no fruit, but it promised fruit. It was supposed to have it, just like Israel. It had all this religion. It was supposed to receive her king. So he curses the tree. The next day, the disciples see the tree dead already. Trees don't die instantly. You can hit it with lightning. You can shoot it with a tank. You chop down a hardwood, it's still going to sprout. When the weather's, just they don't die instantly. And they come and they see this thing dead the next day, and they bring it up to him. This is an amazing thing. And his answer is so simple. Much of my Christian life, this is the answer I would draw from for so many times, but there were times when it wasn't there also, and I had to draw from other sources of the Lord. But his answer was this, trust God. Master, look, the tree you've cursed, trust God. He says, have faith in God, which is trust God. Even if you go to your grave, do it trusting God. That's one of the lessons from the cross. Without his touch, none can touch God. Without God's touch, you can't touch God. We get that. No matter how sincere, no matter how insistent. I don't like being dependent. I like being independent. But I cannot pull that off with God. I must submit. I depend on God. And when it appears that he is not dependable, I have to default to trusting God because I have enough information about him as John did. Do you think these apostles did not see people suffer? Do you think they saw prayers go ungranted? Of course they did. All of them. But they did not just give up. Those disciples, when Peter was arrested, they prayed for him. They knew what happened to James. Of course, when Peter was free, they weren't even ready to believe he was free. Because the fight is so serious. To show the prophet that he is real, that the spiritual world is real. An angel was dispatched to the prophet Elijah, that great prophet. And there in his doldrums, the angel was sent and ministered to him. And the Bible says the angel touched him. He needed that touch, Elijah, at this point. 1 Kings 19, and the angel of Yahweh came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you." How much comfort and theology is packed into that? I'm not looking to be touched by an angel. I want to be touched by God. In this case, he dispatched his angel to support his prophet. But the whole time, this was all about Yahweh, and Yahweh was present. There are times I need to feel God put his hands on me. I need to feel his presence. And in those times, many times, I have not. And he's always straightened it out later. He's always straightened it out by, okay, now, this is what we're going to do today. Wait a minute, what about that? No, we're moving forward. We've passed that. You survived. You're okay, kid. We're moving forward. But I want an explanation. Because I don't want to go through this again. Well, you might have to. Let's go. This is how God deals with us. He deals with that with the prophet, Elijah. He touches him and he feeds him and tells him, "You got a big journey ahead of you, kid. Eat. Let's go." At times his touch comes in such a way that he's simply withholding judgment on me. He's not judging me. He's forgiving me. David said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom Yahweh does not impute iniquity." See, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The forgiveness of God overcomes your sin, your struggle. Okay, you say, okay, well, I got it. My faith fights against my spirit. And sometimes the spiritual man loses. And God does not impute my sin to me. He withholds judgment. And in the place of judgment, grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more. This is a Christian life. You can't beat it. There's nothing like this. Jesus has overcome for us the world, in us and around us. The world that we cannot subdue, its influences, its temptations. I don't know about you, I just get sick of temptation. I'm disgusted with it. Remember, to want something you cannot have, but to still want it nonetheless. And it's a wide range of things. It could be a whole range of things. Maybe I just want to give the greatest sermon ever given by a man with glasses on. There's nobody here to laugh at that. You guys, anyway. Maybe I just want to do something great for the king, and I can't. And it bugs me. And I know I'm in the flesh. I'm in the flesh over trying to do spiritual work. I have to, at that point, just submit. I just submit. Okay, Lord. God doesn't say to me, "You goofed up, but I'm going to keep you from goofing up like that ever again." He does not do that. He says, "You know, there's a good chance you're going to mess up again." And so he says to his disciple, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." See, the carnal man mocks that verse. How do you, these paradoxes, these contradictions in here, telling me, what kind of peace is there if I'm having tribulation? How can I be of good cheer? You've overcome the world, but I can't find you. Cheer in the midst of tribulation, by faith, because of love, and unto love. That is the way we are to do business as Christians, and we all know it. There's not a Christian that can say, I don't have to love. Unless they're totally in the flesh, and hopefully they'll repent for making such a statement. I've seen Christians do things like that. I've not always seen them repair it, because ones I have in mind, they left the church and I never saw them again. I don't know where they are, they landed on their feet or not. But you go, ooh, they behave certain ways. Yeah, I don't believe you said that. But I know the mercy of God, and in that is cheer. And so we surrender and we submit. The saints during the great tribulation period, they overcome. They overcome the persecution that they are surrounded by through the word of God and their lack of love for this life. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Their word of their testimony. They kept preaching it. They're like the three, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. They kept preaching. Fine, you got to do what you got to do, King. We've got to do what we have to do. And as I mentioned, one of the beautiful things about that story is that they came out of that furnace and the smell of smoke was not on them. We come out of furnaces and sometimes and all you can smell is the smoke, the bitter smoke. We're upset that God would put us in a furnace. The ideal is to not let that disturb us. Yeah, God did not let me down. He used me. What can Satan do against that kind of a testimony? Ha ha, where's your God now? You're in the furnace. Yeah, I'm in the furnace. When I come out, you won't even smell the smoke on me. You won't know I've been in the furnace. He says here in verse 4, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You see, there's a defiant spirit in that, and there's also a gentle spirit. It depends on the mood, I think. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. See, there's a defiant spirit. Or, this is the victory. It's our faith, depending on what the job calls for. So Satan attacks us right here, our faith. That's where the attack is. One of my goals was to read the memoirs of General Douglas MacArthur. I've gotten maybe two-thirds about. It's a large book. And I love it, of course. To me, it was just great. This is one of the things he said. In war, there is no substitute for victory. That's so easy, everybody understands it. Well, coming from a general who fought and won so many battles, and one of the greatest generals of all time. An unsung hero, because people get, oh, you're so arrogant. You're so, hey, all right, that's fine. Let him be arrogant. Look at his battle record. One of the things he boasted about, rightfully, was how few casualties he turned in on his side. No commander was like him. But anyway, I'm getting off course here. There is no substitute for victory. Well, that's the very word that John is going to use in this paragraph that we're considering in our verse right in front of us. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. There's no substitute for victory. Faith is it. And out of that faith will come love. And if the love is not coming out of the faith, something's wrong with the faith. John boasted about the disciples who adhered to the truth, which includes love. You cannot have the truth of God without the love of God, because that's a lie. He says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. As we receive commandment from the Father, he never let them lose sight of these things are not optional. Battles mean this. I'm almost done. Broken hearts. Your heart's going to get broken, but it will be used too. I don't mind it so much getting broken. I just don't want it to be broken without a cause, for nothing. Well, sometimes it's going to be that way, but I'm going to work to let it. If it's going to get broken, it's going to count. That's my goal. You don't go to war with what you want. You go to war with what you have. And when you fuss about not having what you want for war, you're busy fussing and not battling. And you have to remember as believers that wars are full of mistakes. And what is Jesus Christ full of? Grace and truth. I'll take it. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Who can beat this, John says? Faith. Trust God. Trust God. Bolt yourself to that ideal, that principle. Verse 5, and the world will mock. Oh, that's God didn't save you. God, we're fine. I got more truth. Verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so he puts a face on it. You want to know who overcomes, who gets the victory? The one who believes that Jesus is God the Son, the Messiah. The one who believes the Scriptures. Perseverance is its own victory. Its own victory. It's just, you're still in it. Still kicking, you could say. Belonging to Christ includes reevaluation of every opinion, every pleasure, every associate, and every purpose in our lives. It's reevaluation. It's constant. It's not nagging. It's not bothersome. Any more than it is to garden. And to, you know, if you want a nice garden, whether it's a vegetable or fruit trees, orchards, or whatever it is, you've got to work the sweat of your brow, but it's worth it. It will yield its fruit to you. And the carnal mind, of course, is attracted to the world. Our carnal mind, it's attracted. The world has many things about it that appeal to a fallen nature. They appeal to just our nature, period, not even the fallen side. But Satan uses those even good things to influence people away from God. I mean, there's various cultures. When I was a boy, I would go to Chinatown in New York City quite a bit. I just was attracted at that time to the culture. I liked everything about it, especially the shrimp lo mein. The religions of the world, they can attract people for the wrong reasons, of course, the philosophies, the art, the science, organizations, there's a variety. The world has variety, it throws it. All these things can lure us away from God. They can do it outright or they can do it subtly. And we've got to be on guard, and those that we love, of course, are susceptible to these things. The world can be noble, it can be inspiring, it can be attractive. I was mentioning to you, I was reading the reminiscences of General MacArthur. Actually, he's a cousin, though, a distant cousin, but Douglas MacArthur. There was much in it that was attractive, but the whole time I know this is not Christianity. That's not why I'm reading this. I'm reading this to break away, to be refreshed, to regroup, to expose myself to other challenges for the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. The world can also be base and disgusting. It can be threatening. It can be deadly. It can persecute. We get that. But there are many who do not. So, coming to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, what awaits us is an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Reserved for who? You who persevere, you who trust God, you who let God's love flow through you even when you don't want it to, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter was saying when he writes these things, I'm like you, I want out too, but I've got work to do and this is what's involved. And so the things I'm writing to you, I've already told myself. I've already been told by the Lord. I know what I'm saying. I'm not a spectator. Not only am I different as a Christian, but I'm going to work to be a delightful Christian. There's too many sourpuss Christians walking around. I don't want to be one, and I want to add to that this before I close. Not only do I not want to be a sourpuss Christian, I don't want to be one when no one's around. So you can be that way. When nobody's watching, you can grumble and moan and complain, and that's all. I want to make a joyful noise to the Lord as often as I can.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.